Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
How far he's fallen since that moment. Since then. And here's the thing, David. It's just like, I can't think of an athlete in recent memory that's more checked out of the sport they play than Dustin Johnson at this particular moment. He, I hear him in interviews. I hear him at his press availability. He doesn't care anymore. He got that big bag from Liv, and he's living.
Honestly, I think you summed it up perfectly. Just very passive for a guy with all the talent in the world, too. And, you know, he's kind of the poster child of that generation of guys who were aging out, let's be honest, on the PGA Tour, really struggling to compete with this new generation of studs. And, you know, it's like him and Lee Westwood and Ian Poulter and all these guys who are 40 and up now. It's like, Liv did well to get Bryson and Rahm, but like outside of those guys and like Joaquin Niemann, like it's kind of like the mini champions tour. It's sort of like the 40 and up club. And so, yeah, it's kind of sad. Yeah, DJ, total non-factor right now.
Yeah, who are you looking at to win? Bryson plus 275. We got Scotty's plus 275. Bryson's like plus 750, I believe. He's second shortest odds. Scotty Scheffler, actually the shortest odds, largest favorite for any men's golfer since Tiger Woods was plus 225 for every major in 2009.
Wow.
it's kind of ridiculous. I think 50% of the handle is on at ESPN Bet, at least, is on Scotty.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, like you know, if you pick Scotty to win, like good pick, right? Like,
sure.
But I like to look at players a little bit further down the odds sheet who at least still have a chance. And I like Colin Morikawa because he drives it straight. And when you watch and read and hear about Oakmont is that it's just so important to put it in the fairway. And he has that reliable little baby cut off the tee to where I feel like Colin's going to put it in the fairway. And then Shane Lowry, because he kind of thrives in the kind of difficult conditions. He grew up playing in Ireland. He's not like a master of the golf ball, but he knows how to control his ball flight. He's not one of these guys who's just going to like lose his mind because his wedge spun back too much or something. You know what I mean? Like he knows how to control the flight of the ball. So I like Shane Lowry and Colin Morikawa as like quality good players who could actually win it, who maybe aren't in the top five or six of the betting odds.
It is hilarious though, watching them, you know, with their course maintenance throughout the week at Oakmont for any U.S. Open really, but at Oakmont especially, they put basically the one guard on the Clippers and they're trimming the fringe. I mean, it's beautiful stuff. And then I saw they were taking the mowers out on the rough, but they weren't taking anything off top of the rough. I mean, the rough is
the rough.
You're not gonna be able to find your ball in there. Good luck.
Yeah, I know, right? I saw a clip too where I don't know if it was a joke or what. I mean, it's hard to tell on the internet some of these days. Like I'm gonna get scammed, you know, because I'm getting old.
Getting Centel'd.
I don't know what's true. Yeah, I don't know what's true and what's fake, but even if it was fake, it was funny. It was like the local barbers were out there with like their you know, their number two razors trimming the fringe. I think it was serious. They were like,
no, I saw it. You and I saw the same thing.
Yeah, as if it were, you know, men's sideburns or something. And so, it's going to be fun. Like, I think it should be a really, I mean, because if you go back to that 2016 U.S. Open, I believe DJ won it at -5.
Yes.
And that, to me, is sort of what a U.S. Open should be. You should have one or two, maybe three or four guys under par, and then there should be a lot of misery out there. And, you know, over the years, it feels like maybe we've gotten a little soft because they complain about the rough and blah, blah, blah. But, like, that should be a good winning score at a major, -5. I like that.
All right. Now, I wanted to ask you about, obviously, we've had the House settlement go through, and there's going to be, we talked about it on Monday, a lot of schools looking for cash infusions, right? And maybe not now, but 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, they're going to be looking for cash infusions. And Front Office Sports did this report earlier this week about Boise State and their athletic department and their AD, Jeremiah Dickey. They're looking into private equity. Now, this is not something that we have not heard about in the past. We've heard about the Big 12 and Brett Yormark trying to bring in private equity for cash infusions for the Big 12 as a whole, the entire conference. But according to Front Office Sports, Jeremiah Dickey, the AD at Boise State, is actively considering bringing private equity investment into its athletic department. And if they do, Jeremiah Dickey expects to have a deal in place within the next 6 months. Now, I have been asked, since I've tried to talk about this on my podcast and on the show, what that looks like. So I'm going to ask you, David, to your best understanding of private equity in athletic departments in college sports, what does that ultimately look like?
Well, I'm afraid it means selling your soul. I'm afraid it means taking their money, but then running your business the way they tell you to run it. And that's going to mean a massive, massive overhaul. What it would essentially allow would be for the ADs to then point to private equity and the private equity influence as the bad guys when they say, well, you've got to cut 40% of your athletic department staff, or the travel budget for your softball program has to be cut in half, and you can't go to Hawaii to start your softball season in February anymore like you used to, because if you're at Boise State and you want to play baseball or softball, boy, you got to start that thing early. And you got to travel to do it. And so then you sort of have the private equity bros as the bad guys in your department when they're the ones who are calling the shots. And that way it's not Jeremiah Dickey who's saying, oh, well, we've got to cut 40% of our staff in our athletic department, or our non-revenue sports to slash their travel budgets, right? Because that's the private equity people, they're going to give you a bunch of money, but then they're basically going to get the keys to the engine, and they're going to be able to run the business, essentially, as if they're the CEOs and the managers of it.
Well, but they're going to allocate those funds. They're not going to allocate those funds to places that aren't going to make them money and get them their return on investment. So if you're looking for cash infusions in the future through private equity, whether you're Boise State, Memphis, UL, Monroe, that money that you're getting from them is not probably to be used on keeping Olympic sports alive, to keeping women's and men's golf alive, because that's not going to get you where you need to go if you're taking that money. If you're taking that money, you need to make money using it. You need to give it to your cash cows.
It comes with strings attached. And
yes.
So it's just going to reinforce this idea of football in particular being the driver of the train. And that, I mean, that's going to be no surprise or no different. It's just going to be heightened or magnified and taken to the next level. We talk about some of the negative things that could come with that, and there will be negative things that come with that, but maybe private equity is what it takes to get a little creative in college football and to push some new ideas out there and to get games scheduled that have been pushed off the radar. You know, maybe right. If it ever comes to the SEC, maybe if private equity ever comes to the SEC, they can be the ones who push the schools over the top on playing a 9-game schedule and actually following through and playing a non-conference round robin with the Big Ten. You know, like maybe there could be some good that comes from that, because doing those things would lead to more money. That's such an easy fix for the SEC. oh, you want more money? Well, play more conference games. Then you can sell your season ticket package for more. Then you can get more from your TV rights provider. I don't know that the answers are as obvious in the other leagues, but those are two things in the SEC that are so abundantly clear and have been for such a long time that you could enhance your product if you did those two things. If you played better non-con and then played 9 conference games instead of 8, you know, if you're Boise State, what are those obvious low-hanging fruits? I don't know as much, but when you talk about the SEC and the potential for private equity, I mean, there's two very obvious things that I think those firms would push
for. We ready for the Air Emirates patch on Alabama uniforms? Is that what we're looking for?
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go. There's an easy one right there. Yeah. They'll go get the Saudis to invest something. And yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then you're going to have a fly Saudi, you know, court logo or something in Boise. And, you know, nothing will be off limits. I mean, it's going to be like NASCAR or European soccer or whatever. They're going to explore they're going to turn over every stone. And I think that part of what this house settlement also sort of signifies is, you know, it's the death of amateurism.
Yep.
And so we can stop clutching our pearls a little bit too. I mean, we've already seen the invasion of sports betting in the college space over the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, there's more avenues to explore there in terms of betting partnerships and you know, gambling, and that's going to continue to be a multi-billion-dollar industry in sports in this country, and it's only going to keep growing. So, I mean, there's a lot of things in that realm they could do too.
Now, this is wrong of me, but I'm intrigued in, of course, the positives, like you just mentioned, and the amount of money you could generate and more revenue. But I'm also intrigued in the negatives, because ultimately, you bring in a private equity firm that gives you an infusion of cash to go invest and give them a return on investment. They have board seats. They have a percentage of your athletic department. What happens when that goes bad, David? Which it very well could at certain places, a Boise State, a Memphis, a UL Monroe, those types of places. If it goes bad, what does that look like? An athletic director unseated, taken out of there, the entire private equity firm taking over the entire athletic department? Like, those are the things that scare the hell out of me when you start talking about this.
Like, honestly, it probably looks like what's happened to the newspaper industry over the last 20 sure. years, where the entire business model got upended because the advent of the internet and online advertising completely upended the print business model. And then, you know, Craigslist just completely wiped out the need for classified ads, which was a huge part of a newspaper's income that a lot of people didn't even realize. And then private equity gets its hands on a lot of these old newspapers, and they just suck every last dollar that they can out of it. They just keep cutting the newsroom, cutting the staff until there's really, you know, nothing left. And if you use the example of the UL Monroe, I mean, the only thing that would be left after it went bad in a scenario for a program like that would be a football team, you know, maybe a basketball team.
Yeah.
And that would be it. So that's where it could go. That's where it could go really, really poorly and really, really, yeah, it could go down the tubes. To give maybe a positive spin to follow that, maybe they can bring some sense to the geographic disalignment of the conferences. You know, I mean, that's a very hopeful thing. That's probably 15 or 20 years down the line. But I mean, the first thing anyone with any business sense would look at when they came into a college sports, you know, if you just dropped a businessman in from the Middle East and said, what are we doing wrong here? They would say, well, why are you sending your basketball and volleyball and softball teams all over the country several months out of the year when there's other Division I programs they could hop on a bus and play that are within 3 hours drive? You know, I mean, so like that's a very clear thing that they could maybe make some headway on in terms of getting some geographic sense back into college sports.
Now, something that I was thinking about, and I you probably don't have the answer to this, but like private equity, like I think to a certain extent we've seen it, but not with a full athletic department, like with the FedEx NIL investment. Like that's an infusion of cash. Obviously, it's with the NIL collective, and it's different at the University of Memphis. It's $25 million over 5 years. You do sponsorship deals, so it's working both ways. But, you know, something I was thinking about that with the house settlement and revenue sharing, what needs to happen with that FedEx money now? Considering the NIL space is now going to be governed by the College Sports Commission, anything over $600 is going to be scrutinized. Would it just then be smarter to take that money and make it a donation to the entire athletic department and potentially earmark that revenue for whatever sport that you need to earmark it for?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's what it was until the NIL era. And that's what it should be again, because if FedEx in the future, if they're willing after this 5-year period to make another similar type of investment, that money in my, you know, from what I know of this House settlement and the way it has rearranged everything, would then need to be funneled back into the athletic department to help Memphis get close to that $20.5 million or whatever that number is in the future. It might not always be $20.5 million, but for now,
right,
that's the maximum that the athletic departments are allowed to spend. I don't think that, from what I've heard, Memphis is quite going to get to that number. So if it, you know, 5 years down the line, FedEx says, yeah, we're just gonna donate that to the University of Memphis Athletic Department. Well, then right, the University of Memphis would then use that to get as close to that 20.5 as possible.
But yeah, and again, we can be as cynical as possible about this, but you know, the idea behind the investment from FedEx is they get something in return. They get advertising, they get sponsorships with players, they like that type of thing. So I guess it would depend on their mindset about the actual investment that they put forward last year.
Well, yeah, but there's things you could do there. You could put a FedEx patch on the basketball jerseys. I mean,
right,
they already play in FedEx Forum. I'm sure there's already FedEx signage up in Liberty Bowl.
And you also need to ask yourself the question, how much did the back end, the return matter to them when they
well,
pledged
it, it didn't matter to them nearly as much as it's going to matter to the private equity guys. I mean, they're
right,
expecting a return. It's not a charity. It's not a handout. You know, FedEx, to a certain extent, like, yeah, they want return on investment for hosting, you know, a FedEx Cup PGA Tour playoff event, but they also do it for the good of the community.
Right.
They do it because they want Memphis and Southwind, which they are adjacent to have a premier event and to enhance the image and to partner with St. Jude. And like, that really does mean something to a company that's been local to this city for decades, you know, and you know that you don't have that with private equity. They don't care about any of that stuff. So that's, you know, that's the big difference is FedEx is, in some ways, made it as a donation. Do they want something in return? Yeah, sure. But I mean, I'm going to be honest, Gabe, if Kendrick Davis and PJ Haggerty were out here making tweets and Instagrams and TikToks about, you know, how they use FedEx for all their shipping needs, like, I never saw them. You know what I mean? Like, I never saw them. So, like, to a certain extent,
I've seen a couple of Instagram posts. That's about the extent of it.
Right, but not $25 million worth.
Correct.
It's, so it's, you know, I think it underscores the importance of having a partner like that. If you're, you know, I mean, the schools and the programs that have the backing of those massive, you know, Fortune 500 corporations, they're thanking them more so than ever right now, because maybe if you have that, you can avoid going the private equity route. If you don't, it might be something that you have to take a long, hard look at.
All right, now college basketball, we have some rules changes in the main one. Coaches' challenges are a thing. Your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I like it. I mean, I think it's overdue. The more we can do to kind of expedite the replay process, I mean, there's still going to be replays in the last 2 minutes of games and whatever. But I don't know. I mean, I think I'm for it. I'm not under the illusion that these changes are going to suddenly make college basketball games fit into those 2-hour TV
yes,
windows. You know, we still got a ways to go, I think, before we get there. But I think the closer we get to sort of modeling what the NBA does in terms of some of the reviews and whatnot, I think it's a good thing. Not to say NBA games can't get unwatchable at times as well. They can, but it's really bad in college basketball. So this feels
right,
like a step in the right direction.
I love what they added, though. I don't know if you got to see the full release. I'm sure you saw some of it, but they said that they did this, and the goal is to improve the flow of the game. Okay. I don't know about that, guys. And then they also said part of it is they want to address delay of game tactics. They want to limit time spent at the monitor. Well, that's more time spent at the monitor, but I do agree coaches' challenges are necessary. And then did you see the interesting wrinkle in women's college basketball? I this is not common sense, but I kind of like it. In the women's game, teams will not need to have a timeout to take a challenge. In the men's game, they will have to have a timeout. They can get it back and get another challenge if they're successful. But in the women's game, teams will not need to have a timeout to take a challenge. Instead, if they lose a challenge and don't have timeouts, a technical foul will be given to them for an excessive timeout. I like that. It's not common sense. It's a little bit much if you just think about it, but I think that could add some intrigue to the women's game.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I kind of hope the officials, like, offer a warning like, hey, you're out of timeouts. You sure you want to challenge this? Because the first time a coach says, hey, we want to challenge that in a crucial situation, forgetting that they don't have a timeout left, and then it costs them the game, like that could be an ugly scene. It reminds me of when Chris Webber tried to call a timeout in the 1993 college basketball national title game and was assessed a tech, and that helped North Carolina win it. Iconic moment there. We could see something like that in the women's game. I think it's good. If you're sure, you should be able to challenge it. And it, you know, and then obviously if you turn out to be wrong, then there's a penalty there. So what I would maybe prefer to see in men's college basketball is just fewer timeouts to begin with, mm-hmm. because we have so many media timeouts, and then we get so many late game reviews that you don't really need the timeouts as many of them as you used to, because you can book it that there's going to be at least three or four monitor reviews, not even challenges, in the last couple minutes of the game. And I don't think those are going anywhere under what I saw. So I'd almost like to see fewer timeouts in the men's game, because when you've got the under 16, under 12, under 8, under 4, and then all the video reviews, now you got challenges. I mean, you got plenty of time to talk with your guys. I mean, we don't need six timeouts or whatever it is.
Well, David, I mean, it's not about time to talk with your guys. It's about the TV networks getting their commercials in, ultimately.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's about. And that's part of the reason. That's part of the reason they haven't gone to four quarters. But is that the next change you want to see to college basketball? Are you good with two halves, or do you think eventually just go to four quarters and line up with the rest of basketball around the world?
I never have had a big problem with the halves. Okay. I don't know. Like, it's just,
well, is that because of comfortability and you just know the game, or is that, you know, is that something you just think it's better? Because I don't think anyone thinks it's better. I think it's just about comfortability. We've done it this long, and change is hard sometimes.
I'm an old hat. It's just the way it's always been for me. You know, the women's game has done it, and people seem to like it. I understand the way the fouls work. You get to 7, and it's the 1-1. You get to 10, it's a double bonus. Like, does that change if you go to quarters? I don't know. I don't feel like it's. Do people not like the halves in men's college basketball? Honestly,
I don't think people have an overwhelming issue, but I think if you're like me, or if you're like Connor and I have had these discussions on multiple occasions, it just seems completely antithetical to stay with halves to the game at large. If you have guys that are trying to transition into the NBA, it would be easier there. You align with everybody else worldwide when it comes to the way basketball is being played. It is the only sport, it's the only league or whatever worldwide that plays halves in basketball, and that just doesn't make sense.
I played in the Bellevue Men's League a few times, and we did halves.
Sorry.
So, you know.
Sorry, I'm wrong. Yeah. Apologies. Yeah.
No, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just not a big one for me. It's just, you know, it's a 40-minute, it's going to be a 40-minute game either way. Like, but people like it in the women's game, and so I understand. I understand what you're saying. You know, the NBA does quarters. Why didn't
Now, let me ask you this,
basketball
though.
Do quarters?
If you're, you know, averse to making this change, like, what would it change for you? Like, would it really, you know, change anything about how you view the game? Would you like it less? Are there reasons you would like it less?
Yeah, well, it would change, like, because when I'm watching
the
game now.
You mentioned the fouls already, right?
Okay, if you're watching the game now, and there's 8 minutes and 7 seconds left in the half, like, and you need to go to the bathroom, like, you can basically be getting up as, you know, as the clock goes under 8 minutes, and the next time there's a foul called, you can go to the bathroom and be back. And be back in front of the TV by the time the game comes back on. Or if you need to go refresh your beverage, you know exactly when to do it. You know exactly when those timeouts are going to be. I would just have to, like, recalibrate my game-watching sort of clock, I guess, on a personal
level. And something
level.
We more, have more become used to, like you mentioned with the fouls, you get to 7, you're in the bonus. You get to 10, you're in the double bonus. And sometimes people get to that very early. We've seen that with Memphis multiple occasions, where there's 7 minutes left in the half or 7 minutes left in the game, and you're already into the double bonus. It would change that part of it. But I don't mind that.
No, it would.
I think there would be other – I think we would appreciate the other way for what it's worth as well.
Well, but, you know, on the same hand, though, there's a lot of things about, college basketball that are different from the NBA. They shoot from a different three-point line. There's no defensive 3 seconds in college basketball. You can't call a timeout and automatically advance the ball like you can in the NBA. The way that the defense is officiated is just so different.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Different. There's a number of things that are different about college basketball than the NBA, and the same is true of the NBA and FIBA and international play. And so, I mean, there's not a ton of uniformity in basketball in general. I mean, I saw something today where the TSSAA is considering implementing a shot clock. Mm-hmm. It's about half and half nationwide. You know, half of high school basketball associations use shot clocks. The TSSAA does not. Has never. To me, like on the high school level, that just seems like an unnecessary financial burden, not only for the front end investment in buying a shot clock, but then you got to have somebody qualified to run it as well. You might have to pay that person because if you just have Johnny's dad running the shot clock, he doesn't know when to reset it. It's going to take him 3 years to figure out the rules on when to reset the shot clock, you know.
But then, when you don't have a shot clock and it goes bad and somebody runs out a full quarter with one offensive possession, that's no fun.
Yeah, but it's high school basketball, man. Like, hey, if you can keep the ball away for 2 minutes, like, good on you. It means you got good point guards. Like, I mean, but my point is that there's a lack of uniformity, probably in basketball more so than any other major sport, in terms of the rules. Like, there are significant rules differences around the world and at different levels of play, and so. The fact that college basketball doesn't conform with the NBA on quarters, it's just never been something that's really been top of mind for me.
Yeah, for me, I'm for streamlining when you can, at least getting closer to streamlining when you can, and I think that would be the next step. But we'll see if they decide to do that. They said there's positive momentum in the press release I read yesterday. Positive momentum.
There you go.
Quarters. Everybody loves that. That positive momentum. But David, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining. We'll do it again Friday.
All right, brother. Sounds good.
Yes, sir. He is David Cobb at David W. Cobb on ex-college basketball, college football writer for CBS Sports. And he's brought to you by Oxbow. This Father's Day coming up on Sunday. So go get an Oxbow now. 964 June Roads, where you can find it. More shopoxbow.com. That's shopoxbeau.com. But you can get socks. You can get socks. They have a great sock selection at Oxbow. But skip the socks. Get Dad something he'll actually use. Get a Yeti cooler or a cooler in general. And if you get a cooler from Oxbow, you can get free ice for life at their ice machine instead of going to buy ice every single time that you use that cooler. You can go get free ice. But they also have Filson bags, poncho fishing gear, Gentile polos, Martin Dingman belts. Everything at Oxbow is ready to wrap. And they have a curated mix of rugged, refined, ready-to-wrap gifts. They have, if you have a sportsman in your life, go get them stuff like that. You got sharp dressers. If they're hard to shop for, just hit up all of the wonderful, kind, and courteous staff there at Oxbow, and they'll point you in the right direction. Their team is there to help. There are no dumb questions that you could possibly ask. Stop by and build that 901, custom 901 gift box that says, "Thanks, Dad, the Memphis way." Oxbow is your go-to for Father's Day done right. You can find them at 964 June Road. That is off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco station. Or you can go online at shopoxbow.com. That's shopoxbeau.com. Oxbow is anchored in Memphis. Now, Aaron Rodgers spoke to the Pittsburgh media for the first time yesterday. We'll play you that sound when we return. Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Talked about Aaron Rodgers yesterday and why I've been talked into the decision. And Aaron Rodgers actually spoke to the Pittsburgh media for the first time since he has joined the Steelers. And he opened talking about Mike Tomlin. Okay, well, that sounded like a level-headed guy. That kind of made sense. Talked about Mike Tomlin, talked about Pittsburgh, how much he likes the city, how much he likes the people he's met from the city, all the different coaches he's come across that are from the city of Pittsburgh. That sounded like where's the real Aaron Rodgers? I mean, that's cute and all, but tell us why you're playing football and why you made the decision to give it another run at 41 years old. There he is. There he is. There we go. The guy that's making a decision from his soul. You know, all the ego decisions he's made in his life, they're just unfulfilling, even if they go well. I had to make this decision because I just felt it burning in my soul. You know, for most of his media availability yesterday, I watched most of it. Very genuine, came across pretty well. And then that was the one moment where I'm like, there he is. There's my ayahuasca brethren. Gotta love him. Gotta love him. Talking about his soul. Now, I have seen a lot of reaction to Aaron Rodgers now that he's participating in mandatory minicamp, and it's real. He's wearing the number 8. He's wearing a Steelers practice jersey. Seen a lot of takes out there, whether it be Nick Wright. I've seen Andrew Filippone, who does 93.7 The Fan there in Pittsburgh. And there's still this overwhelming discussion about why the Steelers decided to go this route with another veteran. And they're still stuck in no man's land, and they wish they would have reset and started anew. And I still hang on what I said yesterday, Connor. When it comes to the signing of Aaron Rodgers, I think this team will be where they've been the past, I don't know, decade or so under Mike Tomlin. Good enough, potentially in the playoffs. Maybe win one playoff game, but that's it. They haven't won one since 2017. I expect all of that. But the idea of this hardcore reset, I think, is so overblown. I can't get past that. There seems to be this overwhelming thought that if you're not competing for championships, you have to start anew with a top pick in the draft and go get a quarterback and bring him along and develop him and build yourself up. And if we've learned anything from NFL history, that's not always how it works. When we look at the examples of teams that have tried to do that in recent memory, yeah, you have the Commanders with Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix with the Broncos. Yeah, it worked out for them. But also, tell me about the Panthers with Bryce Young. Tell me about the Dolphins with Tua Tagovailoa. Tell me about the Jaguars with Trevor Lawrence. I can see other examples of teams that floated, weren't good enough to win a championship, weren't bad enough to get a high pick. I've seen multiple examples of those teams trading up for a quarterback, finding their quarterback of the future, or just sort of lucking into a good quarterback at that main position. You look at the Kansas City Chiefs, they were fine with Alex Smith, but they needed to be better. So what did they do? They traded up. They bundled some picks, traded up for Patrick Mahomes. Look where they're at now. You look at Josh Allen with the Bills. They were fine. They were making the playoffs with Tyrod Taylor, but they needed a little bit of bump. Here they are, trading up, finding Josh Allen early in the draft. And I look at the Steelers situation. Yeah, it's not great. They have some aging players that are aging out of their prime. It's not perfect. But I also looked at their 2026 draft and what they could potentially have going into next year in April. And they have four projected compensatory picks. They could have 12 picks in the 2026 NFL draft. One in round one, one in round two, three in round three, two in round four, two in round five, two in round six, one in round seven. They still have the ability, with the draft capital they have going into next year, to find young players that can make a difference going into the future. Do they need to find a quarterback? Yes. But also, with these 12 picks, you know what they could do? Put together a package good enough, if they're not at the top of the draft, to trade to the top of the draft to find a quarterback of the future. If you're one that doesn't think Mike Tomlin should be making the decisions because he has made too many bad quarterback decisions since Big Ben has been out, I agree with you. I'm with you. Maybe you need to move on from Mike Tomlin. But this idea that the Pittsburgh Steelers bringing in Aaron Rodgers is some overwhelming negative about their franchise, I just don't buy it. There's more than one way to skin a cat. I know that's a weird saying, but there's more than one way to get yourself back to playoff and Super Bowl contention. You don't have to blow it up and start anew to get yourself back to where you once were. Sometimes it's a lot more simple than that. Now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. We'll grab Small Talk when we return right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. It hasn't even been a week since the House settlement has gone through and we have our first appeal of the House versus NCAA settlement. Not a surprise in the slightest, not going to act like it is. But a group of women sports athletes are going to file an appeal of House vs. NCAA, the settlement approval, arguing that it violates Title IX gender equity statute. Now, the way that it stands right now is if a male athlete receives something, a female athlete is supposed to receive something. You have to have the same amount of sports, same amount of resources sort of divided up to all these different programs, male and female, all of that. So as the way it stands right now in the Title IX statute, these women do absolutely have an argument. But also, I think that by the end of this, not only are we going to have more litigation beyond just the Title IX statute, but by the end of this, I do wonder if these women will have ground to stand on. Why do I say that? Obviously, they are going against this, and they're saying that the back pay and the damages that's supposed to be paid to athletes and former athletes, the $2.8 billion, 90% of that is supposed to go to men who generated that revenue. Only about 10% will end up in the hands of female athletes. They feel it should be split 50-50 per Title IX. But in the end of the day, Title IX was brought along not for revenue-sharing purposes. It had never had anything to do with pay, never had anything to do with pay for play. And I think most of us would agree, if we're being honest with ourselves about the cash cow that college sports are and about the amount of revenue that they generate, I think you would have to go ahead and divvy this up proportionally based on which athletes produce the most revenue per year for their given institution. As it stands right now, I understand their case. But with the changing letter of the law day by day, I don't know if this case is going to last. I am curious to see
if it amounts to anything. But my suspicion, Connor, is that it won't. They have a case right now, but I wonder how much Title IX is going to change by the time they get done with this case. And I will say, this Title IX case may last a long time, and I don't expect an answer anytime soon.
Yeah, I think this could get dragged out. And I do think an important distinction is that this is just going they're mainly going after the back pay.
It's $2.8 billion. By the way, that thank you for basically asking me to clarify. The clarification, this is for back pay and damages to athletes and former athletes. This is right. Not pausing the House versus NCAA settlement and revenue sharing.
Right.
Going forward.
Right. So it's to your point, though, with the back pay, I do think the fair thing to do is to base it off of percentages and revenue.
Yeah.
It's
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I don't think it needs to be a 50-50 split because that's not how the money was made.
And I don't think it needs to be some random 90-10 split. I think
Correct.
It should be based
Correct.
On who the athlete is, where they played ball, and or whatever sport they participated in, and how much revenue did they generate for the school? That's how we work in a free market capitalistic society. You know, that's how these things work.
Right, because to your point,
and Title IX again was not designed for revenue with revenue sharing in mind and pay in mind to athletes. It was designed when we were in the full amateurism mode. And keeping that alive.
Right.
This is a different day.
And to your point, outside of the settlement, there's no requirement for revenue sharing payments to be equitable.
Yes.
There's no requirement.
Yes, but they're arguing against that.
Right.
That's the point. I don't see. Ultimately, I think this will drag out, but I think you think like I think. This is not going to end well for them. I don't see a judge in this day and age with the cash cow that college athletics has become and who's actually generating the revenue. I don't see a judge out there ruling in favor of Title IX when it comes to revenue sharing. There was no clauses in Title IX for that. There was no there was just nothing involved when Title IX became a thing that had any precedent for what we're seeing now in college athletes being paid directly by schools.
I don't think the argument they are trying to make too, and that it would cause irreparable harm to women's sports, is a good one. I don't think that's a good argument, because back pay to former athletes has nothing to do with women's sports now.
But, you know, put our lawyer caps on. How would you even argue that?
I have no idea. How would that harm women's sports as it stands right now?
It would harm, I guess, the athletes that feel like they deserve the money that they're not receiving. But if you didn't generate the revenue that you think you generated, then you're not going to get the money.
Right.
So I don't think it would cause irreparable damage to women's sports. Right. I think women's sports are in a good spot, quite frankly.
I do too.
And going forward, maybe revenue sharing starts to, you know, you start to dig into that 90% number. Yeah. I think we're headed that way. Softball just had 2.4 million people, most watched softball game in history. The women's college, basketball tournament brings in record ratings year by year by year. WNBA is doing well. So just keep moving down that path, and I think naturally you'll end up with more of the revenue.
Right. They deserve a part of the back payment, no doubt about it. But the amount that they're asking for seems a bit much.
Yes. 50-50 is not how this works.
Correct.
We don't live in a 50-50 society. If you do more of the work, you receive more of the payment.
Crazy.
How it always has been.
What a wild thought.
How it always has been. Hour number three is on the way. And starting off hour number three, we are going to load up on some NBA talk. Keith Smith from Spot Track joins next. We'll talk Giannis, KD, NBA Finals, all that next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.